kind of want you to see something because of the comment that Michael's Tanya has made in the past. And I thought it was an interesting comment, so we'll kind of look at some of this. And I'm not even going to tell the comment. Just leave y'all in the dark wondering what she said. Y'all wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you, y'all would not believe what she said.
I will.
Michael will. Michael believes it. He's. Trust me. You will believe what Michael tells me she says. Maybe I should get out of the pulpit before I start all that. You would believe the good stuff Michael says and she says. What is faith? We finished up on a little bit of this a while ago. We bumped it. What is faith? Come on, what's the Bible say faith is? You know. It ain't a trick question. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Come on. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's right. Let me ask y'all a question. How many of y'all ever seen the Spirit of God? How many of y'all ever seen the Spirit? What did he look like? Did he have a mustache? Blue eyes? Blonde hair? Well, then he must not have been through no great tragedy. Only blonde hair, blue eyed people go through them great tragedies in life. I tell you, bless God, it's terrible, little beautiful girl. I feel sorry for them blackhead girls. They never. If I was a girl, I wouldn't be blackheaded because they never go through anything hard. They never do get any struggles. Somebody say, man, all them little stories of some little beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. Come on, I've heard 10,000 of little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. She got raped because she wouldn't listen to her mama. Well, she should have listened to her mama. And, you know, she probably had black hair anyway. But do what, Eric? Faith is some things hoped for. Nobody's seen the Spirit of God. Nobody's seen the Spirit. But you know what? We've seen the evidence of the Spirit, correct? We've seen the results of the Spirit. Seen that. I've never seen a man just become holy, have you? I've never seen a man just go, well, I'm going to be holy tomorrow and begin to be holy. But after the Spirit of God has run its course in that man's heart, that man begins to live holy. I didn't see the Spirit of God come to him and make that transformation, but I seen what the Spirit of God, the transformation the Spirit of God did. I seen it take an unholy man and make a man holy. And I shouldn't say it, I said he, I should say he. I've seen him, the Spirit, take an unholy man and make him holy. That's the result. The wind blows where it listeth. Now let me say this. Some people say, I don't know a lot of lost people before they got saved. Never seen a whole lot of lost people. Everybody I know pretty much is already saved. Miss Tanya, listen to me. Most people you know ain't saved. Most people that we know ain't even saved. It ain't that you don't know. It ain't that we don't know many lost people before they get saved. Hey, most of these people are professing Christ. And know nothing about him. Know nothing. I'm not saying it proudly. I'm just saying it is what it is. Because here's what I want to say to a lot of people today. It's what I want to say. Give me some Bible to support their salvation. Can you hang some verses on their conversion? Because there's a lot of people. And we're dealing with one right now, Michael, that's very bitter against the church. And my advice to him the other day was, son, be careful how you talk about the church. Because the true church is what? It's Jesus Christ's wife. And I don't know a man that's got any manhood about him whatsoever that's going to let you sit around and pick on his wife a whole lot without him standing up defending her if he's a man at all. Let me say something to you. Neither is Jesus Christ. We're not going to run down the true church a whole lot and get real bitter and run our mouth about her without Jesus Christ dealing with us. So I told him, I said, you be real careful what you say about the true church. He's mad at the church. I'm mad at the church. The church is what's hurt me. Let me tell you something. Jesus don't take kindly to people saying the church has destroyed me. I'm going to tell you what's destroyed that boy. A bunch of hypocrites has destroyed him. A bunch of heretics have destroyed him. A bunch of false witnesses has destroyed him. A bunch of people pretending to be what they never intend to be have destroyed him. People saying that I'm saved and preachers telling them that they're saved and they're living like a bunch of stinking dogs, never getting... Listen, Zach bumped up on this morning. I'm going to tell you another evidence of the work of grace in a person's heart. If God ever does save a man, that man will be going through the process of progressive sanctification. That man will be going from one glory to another glory to another glory. He's constantly and continuously drawing closer and closer and closer, looking for that blessed hope of being more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. And if we see tomorrow that I'm more like Him tomorrow than I was today. Amen. That's progressive sanctification. Getting closer to God, becoming more like Jesus, progressively moving closer and becoming more holy and more like Him. That's the blessed hope that we have, to be like Him at His appearing. His appearing is a fact. Me being like Him is my hope. We'll be like Jesus. So I'm saying that to say this, don't be confused with goats and sheep. We know a lot more goats than what we think we do. And we just do. We know a lot more goats than what we think we do. A lot of these people that profess to know Christ and have no fruit, friend, that don't line up with the Bible. You can't hang Bible verses on that kind of conversion. So I want to say to this young man, prove to me in the Scriptures that these people that you're referring to, that give your daddy all this grief, that give you all this grief, that give your mama all this grief, all this turmoil, all this chaos, all this friction, all this strife, all this contention. Prove to me in the Scriptures that they're even saved. Show me how they're saved in the Bible. Last time I asked a man to show me how he was saved, he said, well, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Hey, let me tell you something. Everybody in hell's calling on the name of the Lord. That rich man in hell lift up his eyes. Friend, let me tell you something. He learned how to pray, buddy. Can't see the Spirit of God, but we can definitely see the evidence of the Spirit of God. We can't see the wind, but we can see the results of the wind. Huh? You say, man, them tornadoes, I'm telling you, you can spot them because they're carrying so much debris. But I'll promise you, when they left, there's a mess left behind. And when Jesus passes by, you may not see everything He's doing in somebody's heart and life, but I promise you, He'll make a mean man kind. Amen. Huh? Hey, man, He'll turn them frowns upside down. Sure He will. He'll make a miserable man joyful. I'm talking about the results of the wind blowing. You say, listen, I've never seen a lot of people that claim to be saved before. You know, we talk about... never mind. I won't call no names because people might listen. I don't want to pick or pull nobody out. And I've never seen a man just become holy on his own. But after the wind blows, that man can be holy. After the wind of God blows, after the Holy Ghost comes upon him, after he's overshadowed by the power of the Most High, that man can begin to live holy if he's converted. If he gets that little small S tacked onto his soul, he can be a holy man. Holy man. That's why so many people fail in 12 steps to soberness, right? I mean, you know, AA... We got our 12-step program, N.A. You know, Nancy Reagan said, just say no. Yeah. Just say no. Well, you can say no till you turn blue in the face. But your flesh is screaming, yes. Please, dear God, give me this. I'm going to die if I don't get some. You know what the wind of God will do? You can't see it, but you can see the results. It'll make a froward man faithful. Hallelujah. That's the results of the wind of God. Right. It'll make an unwise man wise. It'll give him wisdom. It'll give an unthoughtful man consideration. It'll make a vile man clean. It'll make a selfish man think of others. What did it do? You say, I can't see the wind. I don't see the Spirit of God. But I tell you one thing. That old boy used to be self-centered. Now all he does is thinks about others. The Spirit of God blew through his life. Amen. What did it do? You know what else it'll do? It'll turn a thief into a giver. We said that Wednesday night. A man will quit stealing and start giving if the wind of God will blow through his soul. He'll stop robbing from God too. I'm telling you, he don't start looking for excuses or ways out of paying tithes. Thank God when the wind of God will blow through your soul, you'll start finding ways to give. Amen. Right? Man, what can I be a blessing? How can I give? Amen. God's been good to me. How can I give? Well, it'll make a hateful man a lover of people. Isn't it amazing that you can have hate in your heart and then the Holy Ghost come upon you, the power of the Most High overshadow you, the wind of God blow through your soul, and God hangs that little small S on your spirit. Isn't it amazing that you can come out as a hater? I've seen men hate people and come out loving people. I can't even imagine. Somebody asked me one time, said, man, you love me. Hey, you love me. You don't even know me. I don't have to know you. There was a love of God put inside of me when I got born again, and I just love people. Are they crazy? Absolutely. Am I crazy? Absolutely. We're all crazy. We're all a bunch of stinking nuts. But you know what? I love nuts. Amen. I love it. Lord have mercy. I'm just saying we didn't see the wind blow, but I've seen the results in people's lives all my life. I will use an illustration here that some of you know and some of you won't, but we knew this old boy down there in Florida, Len Moore. We knew an old boy down there in Florida that had about 7 wives. He shot them, he beat them, he's done everything, cut them, he's done everything in the world, been a millionaire many times over, been in and out of prison about all of his life, made all the money that he could possibly want to make, lost all the money that he's ever made. And I mean literally has shot his wives, beat his wives, cut his wives, cussed God with every breath. Old Len Moore said he got saved, said that Spirit of God blew through it. You know what? That old man became sweet. I mean, not sissy sweet, but man, he started helping people, thinking of others. He stopped shooting people. He stopped cussing. He stopped cutting people. Hey, Michael, I'm talking about that old man like you live next to over there. This is one of them old generational guys. Walks out on the job and playing the radio. Len Moore tells you one time, turn the radio off. I'm here. We're going to lay tile. You playing that music. Yeah. Oh, man. You don't turn the radio off? They say he'll walk over there and take your radio and smash it. I'd say turn that radio off. We ain't listening to that. I like them people. I like them people. Old Len Moore got saved, man. All he started doing was trying to help people and be a blessing. Started giving to the church, started coming to church. You know what he did? He got him a camper and moved over on the church grounds. That's a blessing. You say, what is that? Sometimes that's just the result of the wind blowing in an old man's life. It's been hard all his life. I've seen that kind of stuff for years, man. I've seen people change for the glory of God. Let me tell you something. If somebody ever does get truly saved, there'll be a change. Are you listening? If anybody ever does experience salvation, they will be a change in their life. Don't be fooled by what people say. You can just take an old sinner that you knew that had issues, think of the way they were once before the wind of God blew through their life, and think of the change, huh? Can any of you do that? Can any of you look and go, man, that sucker was so wicked? Blah, 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 blah. We all know Tanya Spencer. Meaner than a striped tail snake. I don't know. I hadn't seen her since she made her conversion, but I've heard everybody's testimony. Brother John Aspel thinks everybody's going to hell but me and him. He thinks the old girl got in. She talks different to her children, her child. She acts different at church. She ain't cussing the preachers. She ain't cussing the preachers out. We ain't mentioning names now. She ain't cussing the preachers out to come by and say, amen, Zach. We know that. She cussed you for everything you was worth one day.
She ain't starting trouble down there in the kitchen, Miss Hannah, from what I heard people's testimony. You say what? They seen the results of the wind.
Ain't that a blessing? You don't get to see a whole lot of it. But thank God when that wind blows, it's evidence, friend. You know what the Bible says? So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's why he said that. Because we can't see what the Spirit of God's doing in somebody's heart and life. We think we can, but we really can't tell what all. But I tell you what we can do. We can see the results. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Y'all like that old song Brother Travis Clayton sings and can't sing? Thanks to Calvary. Day I went back to the place where we used to live. That ain't how the song goes. I said, Brother Clayton, tell me, Brother Sammy's getting senile. He said, oh, brother, he's had a touch of that for years. So, hey, I guess Brother Clayton has. He don't even know how his testimonial song goes anymore. That's his heart. Can't you say, though, thanks to Calvary? Thanks to Calvary. I'm not the man I used to be. That's the wind of God. That's what it'll do. You can go back to the place where you used to live and just, man, think about what you used to be before the Holy Ghost come upon you. Man, what a difference. What a change. What a blessing. You can see the difference when the Spirit of God moves on somebody. Can I be honest with you? You can feel it. I know the Baptist is afraid of that because of the charismatic, but I promise you one thing. I can feel it when God gets on me most of the time. I can feel the breath of God. I can feel it. Stirring. I can feel the stirring in my soul. I know when God's a moving in my soul. Sometimes, I might not know all the time, but sometimes I know when God's a moving. I know when the wind of God's blowing. You can sure feel it, and I'll be honest with you, when I got saved, I felt it. Hey, are you kidding me? I felt it. Son, I went in them woods under a load. Do you understand? Guilt, shame, reproach, self, sin. I mean, heavy. When Jesus lifted that load, I felt that, Eric. I felt the burden lift off of me. I felt that junk lighten up. Man, I'm telling you, I've often said I felt like I floated out of them woods. I was dragging in there. You hear me? Everything I had just to get to that altar. And that altar was a tree out in the woods. People talk about doubting. Are you kidding me? Listen to me real good, church. Are you kidding me? Doubting? I love Brother Allen's explanation. You mean tell me you're riding 60 miles an hour down the road and somebody opens the door to your car and jumps in and you don't know? You have to be out of your mind not to know somebody jumped in your car going down the road wide open. You kidding me? Listen, friend, you have a hard time trying to make me doubt. I was there. I know exactly what happened. I ain't got one doubt about that. I ain't got one doubt about what Jesus done for me, friend. I've doubted a lot of things in my life, but I've never doubted what Jesus done for me. Never. I was there. Kind of hard to take myself out from that. Kind of hard to doubt when the Spirit of God blows through your life like that. Whew. Thank God for salvation that works and don't stop, church. I want to live holy. I still want to please Him. I still crave Him. We sung that song this morning, Who My Soul So Long Has Craved. Do you crave Him? You remember Joseph of Arimathea said, I crave the body of Jesus. Man, if we would crave Him. That's that diligently seeking after Him, craving Him. Thank God He put something in me that ain't wavered. It ain't stopped. In fact, it's got stronger. It's got deeper. It's got better since the day I got it. Amen. Amen. So, preacher, I still love the brethren. Hey, Eric, before I got saved, I didn't care nothing about coming to church. I mean, I went, but I didn't care about coming. Man, since I got saved, it was one of the priorities, top priorities in my life to get to the house of God. You say, why? What changed? Well, I fell in love with it. I love the church. I love it. I love being here. I don't care who preaches. Man, I've been begging a guy, come by and preach to us. Come by, man. Come by and preach to us. I just soon sit over there. As long as God shows up, I don't care who does the preaching. I just love being at church. I love coming to church. Hey, man, you know what? That was 30 years ago, Michael. It ain't let up.
I still can't wait to get to the house of God. I'm still excited. Man, all these years later, it ain't got tired. You know how many things I've got tired of in the last 30 years?
Let me think of something, Miss Stephanie. You know, I've got tired of some foods that I've eaten. Boy, you start out just loving it. I mean, absolutely loving it. And then after you have it for so long, just don't love it like you once did.
I lose my love for certain foods.
I didn't say I lose my love for food. You can look at me and tell I ain't lost no love. Me and Eric, bless God, ain't lost no love for food, both of us.
I ain't never lost my love for the brethren.
Still got a few brethren, boy, and I love them.
Huh? I got an old Yankee up there in New York. Love him to death. Checked in with him this morning. We communicated back and forth. How many of y'all he sent? He sent any of y'all them monkey pictures? One monkey said to the other monkey, "You play any dangerous sports?" And the other monkey said, "Yeah, I disagree with my wife every once in a while."
Pretty dangerous, son. That's pretty dangerous.
I was trying to be spiritual, and that's what he sent me this morning. So I love the brethren. And just in case Brother McVeigh woke up happy this morning, I had to text him some stuff about, you know, the balloons and the clowns and the bouncy balls. And yep, Brother McVeigh, he's right on point, son. He was ticked off right off the bat. He was hateful and mean and mad, just like Brother McVeigh would be. So, thank God. Brother McVeigh must have been a real sweet person before he got saved, because if there was a change, he went the other way. He must have been sweet before he got saved. Old mean thing. Amen. Steve, you know what? When I woke up this morning at 3:19, you know one of the first things that come to my mind? Now, I'm not spiritual, y'all. It don't always happen. But I guess because it was Sunday morning, I'll just go ahead and give you that. You can throw that rock. It was Sunday morning. I'll give you that. I thought about reading the Bible. Man, I look forward, Miss Tanya, to getting up tomorrow morning. If I live to tomorrow, getting up and having that Bible time, huh? I look forward to getting up and reading through the book of Samuel or Kings or Ezra or Nehemiah. I look forward, thank God. I still love the Bible. Man, I can ride down the road. I rode down the road yesterday and just put my headphones in and listen to a man read the Bible. I love it. Love the Bible. You say, what are you talking about? I'm just talking about the results of the wind of God blowing through your life. Right? That's all. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I'll give you this, and we're going to go. I told you we wouldn't be long. Look with me, if you will, please, in 1 John. 1 John is right before the book of 2 John. Say, preacher, why are you so crazy? Because I see people falling asleep and stuff, listen, I raised a boy, Michael, 17 years in the house of God, 18 years, ever how long it was. Would you believe that he still calls me up and tells me stuff I preached all my life and other preachers has preached all his life? He's been in church all his life, and he's still telling me, I've never heard of Elijah. You never heard of Elijah getting caught up in a whirlwind? I never heard nothing like that. Man, that's kindergarten. You hear about it in kindergarten.
You said, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'm just saying,
Steve, the reason I act crazy every once in a while is because people don't hear what you say, and you have to say something stupid just to get everybody go, oh, the preacher's up there. Man, I wished I could get a laugh. I feel mean when y'all don't laugh. 1 John 5:4, I ain't mean, girl. Them fighting words. Them's fighting words. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You tell them I said so. For whatsoever, do you understand that I was a whatsoever? Oh yeah, it's a whosoever salvation, but it's a whatsoever too. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You want me to tell you why people don't overcome the world? Look at me. I'm trying to be real short. People don't overcome the world because they ain't never met Jesus. They ain't never been born of God. People that's born of God overcomes the world. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't dope. They don't cuss. They don't run around. They don't do that. They quit. They overcome that stuff. That's of the world. They progressively, closer and closer, little by little, that stuff starts leaving their life. You don't start regressing and going the other way and start drinking more and doping more and fornicating more and adultering more. You don't do that. Rednecks. Zach's driving a Harley Davidson truck and wears a leather jacket without a tie to church. I've got Sunday school. So what you get for driving a Harley Davidson truck? Hey!
Scared.
It was two of them. They were big. Michael, I seen a guy at the ball game the other day, and so help me Jesus, if he wasn't one of them dudes that was in the strongman contest, he should have been. He was as wide, y'all, and I might be exaggerating, but he was 4 foot. That dude was gymongous. I mean, his arms were just, and it wasn't chiseled. It was like strongman stuff where he's pulling 18-wheelers with his teeth down the road, you know. And I told my wife, I said, you know, as much junk as I say at the ball field, as much trash as I get people, I'm going to leave him alone. I ain't said a word. I ain't said nothing to that man. That man's right and I'm wrong, son. Whatever he says is go. That's right. They say pick your battles, and I did with him, son. I mean, that dude's tooth was bigger than me. I mean, his tooth, his canine was bigger than me. So I was one of those whatsoevers in 1 John 5:4. Listen, if you haven't overcome, and you're not continuously overcoming, then you need to search the scriptures, because God said those that are born of the Spirit will overcome this world. That's all there is to it. Nicodemus said, how can this be? In John chapter 3. Church, how can it be that a leper can go down there to the river Jordan and dip 7 times and get rid of his leprosy? How's that so? Nicodemus, you think that's something? Let me tell you something. A leper came to me one day. Huh? You got a question?
Yeah, it's scary.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that one jump, yeah. Nicodemus, watch this, boy. If y'all recall that story, that leper, there were several rivers that was better than the Jordan River for that leper to go dip in. Much better. And that leper had ideas of his own of what Jesus should have done to get rid of the leprosy. But Jesus said this. He said, you go down there to the river Jordan, I want you to dip 7 times. When you come up at 7 times, your leprosy will be gone. You know what? That old leper went down there, he dipped, and the 7th time he come up, son, the results of the Spirit of God blowing through his life. Obedience. He obeyed. Listen. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Zach bumped up on this in Sunday school. Do you know what God gave every one of y'all sitting here? It ain't much. And I mean that by saying this. He gave you a preacher. He gave you a preacher. And then number two, he gave you the most valuable thing on planet Earth. He gave you the Word of God. He gave you a Bible and a preacher. Do you know what the Bible says? God chose the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. Do you know how foolish it seems to that leper to go dip in the river Jordan 7 times and lose his leprosy? That seems plumb crazy. I mean, why didn't the Lord just say, be thou clean? He's done it all alone. I mean, There was other rivers that was much finer than the River Jordan. He could have just went down there and bathed in. The Lord, you know what? The Lord chose the most unconventional, the most foolish thing to that man that he could possibly choose and said, this is what I want you to do. And you know what? When the world looks at this and says, y'all get in there and listen to that crazy guy. I mean, listen, friend, God chose the foolishness. It's crazy to this world the way you get saved. It's crazy to people how you get to heaven. People much rather walk down an aisle and put a little piece of wafer on their tongue and drink them a bottle of wine. I'm convinced they're just a bunch of winos anymore. Just want to drink wine. Everybody's wanting to be a wino. For God's sake, there used to be a time in America where winos were mocked and made fun of. Now everybody wants to be a wino. A wine connoisseur. And they sit and swirl the little glasses. And I've done read, they said, that's foolishness. That makes no difference. People's just doing that to look fancy. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't do a thing for you. It doesn't electrolyte the sense. Nothing. Nothing that don't help you one bit. But it's fancy. Bunch of winos. God, you know what the world says, Eric? The world says, take two of these pills and call me in the morning. But the preacher of all preachers said, go dip seven times and watch what I can do. That's amazing, isn't it? The world says, hey, man, we're going to have to put you over here in this little leprosy colony and separate you. We're going to have to treat you and, man, hope for the best. And Jesus said, you know what? Go down there and dip in that river. Just dip seven times. When you come out, I'll make sure everything's all right. Man, I bet the people went, is he kidding? No, he wasn't kidding. God wasn't kidding when he told that prophet to pour 12 barrels of water on the altar either. We're going to set this thing on fire. Are you kidding? You're going to start a fire with water? God can. It's what God does. The foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. It's amazing. A lot of foolish preaching, though. God gave you a Bible and God gave you a preacher. And I'm afraid that we've way overcomplicated this very simple plan of salvation. Huh? Way overcomplicated it. We overanalyze, we overthink on what we ought to do is just obey. Just obey. Just obey God. Just take God at his word. He give you a preacher. Ain't much of one, but he give you a preacher to tell you what the Bible says and what God wants you to get this week. And then you go out there tomorrow and get what he's got for you privately. That's right. And some of this old crazy jesting and stuff like that, God can turn it and use it. Just obey the book. Obey the book. I'd read verses 10 through 18, but I trust you do that on your own. I'm going to quit. I told you I wasn't going to be long. I was just going to go through verse 18, and we got through verse 7. Something like that. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you, dear God, for this people. Lord, I want to thank you for the wind of God. I do thank you for every soul that's been saved. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing your work of grace in that heart and life. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you continue to stir in the hearts. I pray that you continue, Lord, to overshadow them with the power of the Most High. Allow that Holy Ghost to come upon them. And may the sweet wind of God blow through their soul. And may you convert them, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you'd, as the great physician, that you'd deliver that child. Lord, I pray that you'd rest on the hearts of each and every person in here today. God, those that's saved, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to sanctify ourselves and draw closer to you. Those that's lost, God, I pray that you continue, Lord, to tug upon their hearts. Work, God, do your work in their life. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Ready? Right.